Good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's been encouraging to be here this morning. And I was thinking as Brother Joe was ending up there a little bit, that we grew up, or ever since we've been married, we live beside a really nice family of Mormons. You know, you and I have no decision in what family, what culture, or what religion we're born in. I'm thankful I was born in an Anabaptist home, in a Mennonite home, and in part of a Mennonite church. And I thank God for that. This morning, I want to start out with a little story. And I'm going to do something this morning I don't know if I've ever heard a preacher do before. And I welcome your admonition if it's not correct. But behind me, you see a picture of a house. And for those of you that are taking notes, have a pencil or a piece of paper. If you can sketch out a little drawing of a house and pay attention at the same time, I hope you can do that. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer of his plans to leave the house building business and to live a more leisurely life, with his wife enjoying his extended family. He would miss his paycheck, but he needed to retire. They would be able to get by. The contractor was sorry to see this good worker go. He had worked for him for many years. They had built many homes together. So this contractor asked him if he would just build him one more home. Just one more home. The carpenter finally said yes, he would do that. He had been a good boss to him. He had been someone good to work for. But he said he would build him one more house. So he started into it. And it wasn't very long after he started building this house that you could tell that his heart just was not in it. He wanted to retire. So he cut every corner that he could cut. He resorted to shoddy workmanship. He used inferior materials. Instead of the normal top quality lumber and products that he usually used, he paid no attention to quality. It was a very unfortunate way to end his career. When the carpenter finished this house, and when his former boss came to inspect the house and to walk through on the final, they come out onto the front porch, and the contractor handed the key to the carpenter and says, "This is your house, my gift to you." What a shock. What a shame. If only he had known he was building the house he would live in the rest of his life. What all he would have done differently. He thought of how much more time he would have spent on the details. How much of a better job he would have done. If only he would have known. Now he had to live in a house that was built none too well. Think of yourself as a carpenter this morning. Think about your house that you're building. Each day of your life that you get up and go out the front door, you're carrying another board that is building the house. Build it wisely. It is the only life you will ever live. And your life tomorrow will be a result of how you built today. I would like to ask Tim to put up the second picture for me, if he will. To get our minds thinking here, this story was given last year, I believe, by John Ray, or either the year before. But to get your minds working this morning, and to get us focused in on the house, the life that we're building. Let's picture your life as this clock behind me. The average lifespan, I believe, is somewhere around 72 years. So you started to build your life at 6 o'clock a.m. Each hour of the day represents 6 years of your life. At 6 o'clock p.m., your life will be over. Where are you at on the building of your house? For me, I'm a little past 12 o'clock. I'm 37 years old. My house is half built. I have less than six hours left. For most of you here this morning, you're around 9 o'clock, somewhere give or take. If you're sitting here this morning, you are not exempt from where you're at on the clock of life. Your clock is running, your house is being built, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. There's no going back. Imagine with me if you had a bank account, and every morning when you woke up and checked your balance, $86,400 was deposited in your bank every morning. Think about that, especially guys. This account carries no balances over to the next day. It allows you to keep no cash balance, and every evening it cancels out what you have not used. What would you do? This morning, you and I each have such a bank. And the name of that bank is time. Every morning when you wake up, you are credited with 86,400 seconds. That's in a 24-hour period, obviously. But each night it cancels out what you haven't used. It's lost or hasn't used correctly. It carries no balance from day to day. It allows no overdraft. You cannot borrow against 1 second. Each day the account starts fresh again. Each night you lose what you failed to use in a wise way. It's your loss. You cannot appeal to get it back. There's no borrowing time. You cannot take a loan out against it. Time management is yours to decide how you spend it. The title of the message this morning is Building a Life. Building a Life. If Tim could put our house back up here, we'll leave it up there for the rest of the morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to say to you this morning that you and I can be excited about building a life. We can be excited about using our time. This is not nothing to be discouraged about or to be depressed about. Building a life. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. As you consider building your life this morning, as we consider building our house, I would like to look at this, at these few verses, for some helps on how we can, with enthusiasm and with excitement, build a life that brings honor and glory to God. You know, sometimes I need a new perspective. Sometimes I need a new start in some areas of my life. Remember, we cannot stop the clock of time or the building of our life. But praise God, we can start today and build it for God and how He would have us to. You know, you come to Bible school, this is our third Sunday together, and we have heard probably hundreds of verses read out of this precious book you hold in your hands. But as you think about building a life, Ephesians 4 verse 20 of our text there, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." You know, I'm not a builder this morning, and the things that I build don't look that nice when it comes to wood. We just recently put new shingles on our house, and a lot of people come and helped me, and I learned a lot about shingling roofs. But I learned that whoever built my house didn't do a very good job on some of the roof system and the way the plywood was put down and the way the shingles were put down. They come off a lot easier than they should have. And I realize that a lot of you are builders. How many of you build in any area? Pole barns, houses, shops? Probably half of you. I don't know if any of you girls do or not, but you build cakes and you can relate. But I overheard some of the boys saying about hauling 2x4s and lumber on their shoulder. And Kyle was talking about manhandling some 6x6s and how not to do that. You know, I can't tell you a lot about building a house this morning or building a shop. But as we talk about building a life, I would like for you to put your name in the center of that little house you drew. You are building your life, your house. And one of the greatest words of encouragement I can give you is to learn from the master teacher, the master builder. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. We're going to have to run through here pretty fast. 1 John 2 and 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Verse 29, "And if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." Turn with me then to Psalm 71. As you think about learning from the master teacher, the master builder, building the life, building the house with your name on. Psalm 71, verse number 17. "O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto if I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come." You know, I don't believe we can overemphasize this. We must spend enough time in our day, in those 86,400 seconds, being taught by the master teacher. You know, yet we as men, maybe more than you as ladies, we like to do things on our own. You know, we can handle it. Yes, we have this thing we work with today of books and articles and all kinds of stuff written by people who are not born again that may help us, crutch us through life a little bit. We need to understand this morning, when we're building our life, we need to know that God's Word is the way the truth and the life. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It matters who you listen to. It matters what you read and where you go to for help. It matters who's around you. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree," or he shall be like building a house by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In the great state of Florida where we live, there's a lot of coastlines, and there's a lot of beach homes built there. It matters how they're built. We have a code that the builders have to go by. And I don't know what you have out here in Missouri or where you guys are from, but we have a thing called hurricane straps. Anybody ever heard of them? Well, I guess you must use them where you're from too. Well, Bleach does anyways. Build your life with hurricane straps to keep your house together. Have it planted by the rivers of water. Each time you open your Bible in the morning or at night, you have another opportunity to be taught by the master teacher. And there's instruction in this Bible for every detail of life that you may ever go through. So what would this master teacher have us to learn? Go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 22. Says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. This verse speaks of forsaking sin, of getting rid of inferior building products, the wrong kind of shingles, the former conversation. Get rid of it. We know that the wages of sin is death. And God's word, our teacher, tells us if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you think about an area in my life or in your life that needs a little help, whatever may come to your mind, it may be something big, it may be something small. I believe that according to God's word, if we confess it readily and openly to God and to man, we can have a clean new board installed, put up in our house. Have a clear conscience before God. You know, as we deal with life, we hear a lot of negatives. We hear a lot of pressures. There's a lot of things Satan is throwing at young people today. Consider the words in James chapter 5, "Pray one for another that you may be healed, that you may build according to the word of God." In verse 23, our teacher, our master teacher, our master builder continues here with more instruction. Thank you. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." This word of renewed has the thought of to renovate or to reform. Has anybody ever been involved in remodeling a house? It's not always fun. There's sometimes some water damage, or maybe the foundation has crumbled, the porch is sinking, the roof system has some issues. Be renewed. I love that thought. You know, that's exciting that you and I can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Are you spirit-driven this morning? Am I spirit-driven this morning? What spirit is driving us? When we think about a renovation project or the idea of reform, it means there needs to be a change in our building. David says, he cries out to God in Psalm 51:10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, as you went to that remodel job, and as you tore out that wall, or you tore out the cabinets, or you put new sheetrock up, you know, when you left, there was a certain amount of satisfaction of a job well done. This house was completed. It looked nice. Or maybe when you tackled that sewing room or that kitchen that was in bad shape. You know, when it was cleaned up, it looked so much better. David was in bad shape. And he asked God to create in him a clean heart. Romans 12, verse 1, let's quickly look at that. Another exciting word formation here in these verses. And I'm pretty passionate about this. As I think about the life that you and I are privileged to build, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your houses, your life, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love that thought of transformation by the renewing of our minds. A renovation that is real and lasting is a transformation. That's a house that will stand the test of time. Continue our instructions here in our text of Ephesians 4, verse 24. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Praise God for U-turns. The words put on gives us a thought of being clothed. And I like to think of being clothed with new clothes, with clean clothes. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we think of righteousness and true holiness, this is a result of a new man, a result of what God can do in your and my heart and life. God is created in righteousness and true holiness back there in verse 24. Created has the idea of fabricating. I don't know how many of you work in welding shops or have ever took a piece of steel and made something out of it and welded it together. Are you and I allowing Jesus to fabricate us, to create us in righteousness and true holiness? Moving on to verse 25, it gets a little more practical here in our building process. You know, have you ever said something you wished you hadn't? Have you ever responded in a way that you wished you would have responded differently? I think we would all agree that we have. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Honesty and integrity in our personal lives. It says to put away lying. You know, we as Mennonites are known as a people of integrity and honesty. We pretty much across the board are known not to be a bunch of liars. We tell the truth. Yet the Bible speaks often about putting away lying. As we consider the life that we're building, the name that's on your house, we must be honest with ourselves and with God and allow Him to help us build a life of truth and integrity, because we are members one of another. Members, part of the body of Christ. You know, relationships can flourish and grow if we are open and honest to God and to each other. Verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, as you build your life, there's going to be opportunities. I hate to say it, but probably many opportunities where it's going to be pretty easy to get angry. Anger is something we probably all have struggled with, at least to a certain extent. And I believe that God knew that we would struggle with this. There's many instances that come to my mind of what people have done in a moment of rage. Our prisons are full of people that have acted in a moment of rage. Be ye angry and sin not. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Let's look there. It's real practical. Something I need to constantly remind myself of. Those of you that know me, know that I love to talk. James 1 and 19, it says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, this is a plan that you can put in your house, that you're building, that almost in any instance, in any relationship, if we'll follow this to the letter, many, many times the conflict will go away. If we get angry and lash out at someone, make it right. I'm sorry. I should have said that differently. Please forgive me, brother or sister, friend or foe. If you get angry, make it right as you build your life. Verse 27 of our text, neither give place to the devil. And I don't want to paint this as a dark picture, but I want to paint this as a picture that with the Bible that you hold in your hand and being taught by the master, teacher, and builder, that we cannot give the devil a place to land in our building process. Resist the devil. Flee from the devil. Be on guard. Be careful. Watch and pray. I've had the privilege of speaking in a few weddings. And I like to tell the wedding couple, I like to give them this little example here. But I'm going to share it with you this morning because I believe it applies to young people in the life they're building. Many years ago, across Europe, there were many castles that people lived in. And if you study the design of these castles and see the attention that was given to detail that went into protecting these ancient castles. They were designed from the ground up for protection from the enemy. From the towering walls and battlements to the massive gates out front, to even the design of how they designed the staircase inside. If you'll study, if you'll research that, the staircasing went up a certain way to allow for flight, to get away. The weakest area of these castles was the entrance, the door, and that what was guarded the closest. There was three things that they did to protect the door of these castle, the entrance. They dug a moat all the ways around it. Think about your house that you're building this morning as this pulpit. Picture a moat all the ways around it, full of water, to keep people out. They had a drawbridge they let down over that moat, so they could allow who they wanted to come in. And finally, they had huge, heavy oak gates that weighed several tons. You know, this morning, God has a very special interest in your house. He didn't put you on earth in 2021 and then leave you without what it takes to guard the entrance. As you consider guarding the entrance of your castle, the life that you're building, there's a few things that we find in Scripture to do. Quickly, be a part of a scriptural church. Be active in your church. Support your church. Realize that your church is a part of the bride of Christ. And be thankful you're a part of that. The second thing is love the brotherhood. Communicate with God, thirdly, daily. Make prayer a big part of your life as you think about the building of your home, of your house, and of your life. Build solid and strong convictions on a personal level. Know what you believe. Stand on the truth. Never compromise. You know, these castles of old, when they went to put windows in them, they built these little tiny narrow windows in the front of their castle to keep intruders out. As you build your home, as you build your life, have narrow windows to keep the evil of this world out of your life that you're building. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Moving on here to verse 28 of our text. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." As you think about building your life, as you think about where you're at right now, at what time it is on the clock of time, you know, be the best that you can be where you're at. If you're a school teacher this morning, put your heart into it. Love the children. Love what you're doing. Be the best employee on the crew that you find yourself building on. Wherever you find yourself, if it's at home helping mom, be the best in anything and everything you're asked to do. Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." We know that. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." As you build your life today, what you say matters. It says, "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." The words that you say, the tone that you say them in, has the ability to build or to break down those that are building life around you. Young people, as you build your life, use your words to edify and minister grace to the hearers. Make it a habit of telling your parents, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your bishop, that you care about them, that you're praying for them. You walk up to your minister or to the wife of the deacon in your church when you get home next Sunday, and you put your arm on their shoulder and you say, "I missed you. I prayed for you. Thank you for what you do for our church." I can personally testify that words of encouragement will pick you up off the ground and make you walk into whatever God has asked you to do. A simple word of encouragement to your leaders in your life. Young people, they get up early. They study late. They have a family. They have a life they're building. They need your words of encouragement. Boys, text your minister on a Sunday morning. Tell him you care about him. Tell him you're thinking about him. You know, the devil's right there in that living room as they're trying to prepare to preach, trying to undo what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a life just like you're trying to build a life. It may very well be just what they need to face the day and the responsibility that lays ahead of them. Verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." As you build your life, and as you move as the master teacher has taught us today, you may have looked back and said, "Yes, I wasted a few seconds last week. Yes, I wasted a few moments last month." But let's resolve to not waste another. Let's move out of this Bible school term, out of this day, motivated, encouraged, empowered to build a life by the grace and power of God that will stand the test of time. Two more verses, Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 24 and number 25. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I'm excited to tell you this morning, each one of you that's here, that you can build your life on a rock that will stand the test of time. Turn it back over to Murray. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this privilege and opportunity to gather together, to worship together, to sing together, and pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the truths that we heard this morning as we thought about who we are, thought about our heritage, thought about who we are in you. Lord, as we considered why we are who we are, may we build our lives based on your word. May we be the best church member in our church. May we pull together and build a life pleasing to thee. Bless each one here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you care about each one individually. Thank you that you know about each one, the little things and the big things. Thank you for the privilege of worship, the privilege of handling and holding the precious word that you have given us. Bless us this day according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.